Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Katam va pandaveyasya rajarshir munina saha samvada samabhut tata yatraisha satvati shruti katam va pandaveyasya rajarshir munina saha samvada samabhutata yatraisha savita satvati shruti katam va pandaveyasya rajarshir munina saha samvada samabhutata yatraisha satvati shruti katam va pandaveyasya rajarshir munina saha samvada samabhutata yatraisha satvati shruti
katam va pandaveyasya
How is it? Va also Pandaveyasya of the descendant of Pandu Parikit Rajarshe of the king who was a sage Munina, with the Muni, Saha, with Sambhara. Discussion. Samabhuta. Took place. Tata. Oh, darling. Yatra. Whereupon. Esha. Like this. Savati. Transcendental. Shruti. Essence of the Vedas. Translation. How did it so happen that King Parikit met this great sage, making it possible for this great transcendental essence of the Vedas, Bhagavatam, to be sung by him? Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is stated here as the essence of the Vedas. It is not an imaginary story, as it is sometimes considered by unauthorized men. It is also called Sukha Samhita, or the Vedic hymn spoken by Sri Sukadeva Goswami, the great liberated sage. So here is then another question by Shaunaka Rishi, in which he would like to know, how is it that he came, that Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikit came in contact with each other? That to come in contact with such a great personality is rare. And the qualifications of Maharaj Parikit was also very unique. And that here, then, the most essential of all the Vedic literatures is being spoken. So they wanted to know what was the history of Maharaj Parikit and how he had how it is that he came in contact with Sukadeva Goswami. And the point is being made that the Vedas is the essence, I mean the Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas. So by this essence, then all the Veda could actually be understood. It means there can be so many facts and figures that we may not actually understand what is going on, what we're talking about. But when we know what is the purpose or the essence, then we are able to understand the whole work. So this is so they are stating that they are confirming that the Bhagavatam is this essence. In other words, it means the Vedic literatures are very vast. And it was requested that Parikit Maharaj wanted to know what was his duty in life. Right? To know one's duty, then one must know a goal. Duty gets a goal. Sometimes we think duty is that thing by which doing we are made unhappy. But duty is that which is performed that gets us a result. Right? So if we want a proper result, then we have to perform a proper activity. Right? If we say, we chant, we don't care for the rules, that means also, we chant, we don't care for the result. So So if we see someone does care for the result, then that statement that they have made has no meaning. Right? So the activity gets the result. Right? You have a goal in mind, you perform an activity that you feel confident in is going to get you the result. Right? If you're not confident about what your goal is, or you're not confident that the activity you're going to perform will get you that result, then there's no activity. So then, understanding what is the goal, what is the activity, this is a very deep subject matter. So all the great sages, they had so many opinions on what was actually the purpose and goal in life. And then what one should do to get that result. And so there was much discussion amongst them all. Then it was seen that when Sukadev Goswami came, that they could understand that he was much more elevated than who was there in that assembly. His qualifications were unique. Then he was asked to give the essence. So in 7 days, and he spoke the essence of all the Vedas. And then that essence then is being repeated here amongst Vaisuta Goswami, amongst the sages at Naimisharanya. So this story, it took place. The conversations that are in the Bhagavatam are all factual. Right? We must always remember that it's a conversation. So in a conversation, then it moves according to the interest of the hearer. And the inspiration of who's speaking. So, therefore, chronology in facts and figures is not an important point. Chronology in the presentation of the point of getting to the essence of the Vedas, that is important. Therefore, we see the Bhagavatam gradually goes from the foundation of spiritual life up to the Lord's pastime. And then knowing now the whole topic, then very technical points of devotional service in the end, in the 11th and 12th cantos. Right? Unless you know the whole picture, one cannot get very technical. So then the idea, so the conversation then, this is factual. And whatever was spoken was factually spoken. what is spoken, some of it is talking about, and whatever is spoken is also factual. Generally, what's spoken is stories or stories and conversations that have happened in the past. In making a point, it's very common you'll tell a story. And in telling a story, what's the use unless it makes some point? So then we see this combination, then all the various aspects of the Srimad Bhagavatam then are revealed. And since the time was very short, then Sukadev Goswami had to be very careful to only say the most essential points. So whatever is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, then that is all of essence. So then this should be studied and we should try to understand. Any questions on this? Yes. From what I understand, they may have come after. I don't know that they were there before. Because once it was understood this conversation was going to take place, then many came. What is some amongst the Vaishnavas, sometimes there's disagreement on what is Bhagavatam, so doesn't that weaken the position of the Vaishnavas? See, the four Vaishnava lines, then they have their purpose that they are trying to achieve. They're trying to take people to a particular realm in the spiritual world. And that realm is based on a specific mood. So the mood is what is the feature of the realm. The realm is manifest due to the mood. Just like this, do we, decorate a room and make it all, wonderful, and then afterwards think, what should we do with this room? Or do we think we want to create this kind of atmosphere and mood, and then we create the surroundings? So the mood is the important element. So now in Madhva's philosophy, he's dealing with dvait.
В философии Мадхва обычно мы имеем дело с
means there's two. Right? You see pictures of him, he's sitting there with two fingers. So he does not deal with even the slightest subtlety of oneness. The points are very clear, cut. You know, very straightforward. Because his purpose is to completely annihilate, you know, the concept of there is one. Right? Ramanuja came before. His idea is take the people and move them from one into purified oneness. But Madhva's idea was, you know, just destroy the Shankarites and establish, you know, Vaishnavism. So then you can't have that your, you know, acharya is doing things that may be taken by others as inappropriate. Therefore those parts of the Bhagavatam, they just finesse. Finesse, kind of like ignore. You know, it's not, you know, like that. Does that make some sense? So they have a different purpose. Well, ours is the Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. Then we can handle all that together. That one can understand, you know, the potency, the greater potency, there's more purity. You know, if someone is actually, you know, properly situated, then they can appreciate if someone is more than them. They may not be able to understand how that is, but they can understand it's there. So they could see he was completely detached from the material situation. And he was exceedingly, you know, pious. So they They could see that his detachment and that piety was greater than theirs. Because certain symptoms on the body then establish one as a Mahapurush. So then that's understood, they must be special. So then that, along with the detachment that he was manifesting, then does that make sense? Just like the girls, they were able to appreciate that he was, you know, not of this world. Right? Most likely those girls were, you know, thinking about either their household, you know, affairs or marriage or all these different things. But they could appreciate the purity that was there. And even it said before that, then the trees also were feeling separation. Right, when Sukadeva Goswami left the ashram, even the trees were feeling bad. So we can understand that must have been very, it means, you know, his just position must have been so unique that it was so understandable by everybody. Bhagavatam is a body of knowledge. Right? It's a particular subject matter. So that subject matter is the glories of the Lord and His devotees. But from the angle of the liberated soul. Whose only purpose is to see everything in connection with the Lord. So that's the Bhagavatam. So this is, means the Bhagavatam, so therefore the Bhagavatam is unlimited. But he only had 7 days, so this much of it was revealed. So the Bhagavatam that we find in the heavenly planets and other, are bigger. I've heard that Yamaraj has the most complete explanation of the Bhagavatam and the ways of the species of life that the Lord manifests in. So he has all the stories of the Lord in all the 8,400,000 species of life. Right. quite short, like there's one explained in the Sringa Purana. That the Lord came as the mosquito. Right? And so, and all the demigods came as bees. So while the Lord was sitting there, you know, then all the demigods in the form of bees, and they all were flying around the Lord. Right? And then that was the end of that pastime. So like this, then. So Yamaraj that way maintains his, you know, balance by remembering the Lord. Yeah, because he has to deal with all these criminal mentalities. And gross materialists. Right, so therefore, it can be disturbing. So if he can remember all these different things connected to the Lord, then he can keep his Krishna consciousness. So then for this situation, and this many verses were spoken. Because we see that what Sukadeva Goswami spoke starts from the second canto. He didn't speak the first canto. And the last part, I think the 12th canto, he also didn't speak. So what we have here is spoken by Sutta Goswami. No. Sukadeva Goswami speaks from the beginning of the second canto to part of the 12th canto. But before that and after that, all that is spoken by Sutta Goswami. Yes. Means like what we're reading now, this is spoken by Sutta. And then we see that there are parts of this that even Sutta is not speaking, that Vyasadeva is putting. Means Vyasadeva, the author, is already writing first. Then we introduce Sutta Goswami. So the body of knowledge is great. But this is the essence. Does that make sense? Is that then you'd have to say that only this 18,000 verses are Bhagavatam when there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands or millions of verses. So this is what happened to be spoken. Because it's how you say, the points are what's important. And these conversations are what is happening all over the universe. So then all these are pulled together and make the Bhagavatam. So, if it's in the commentary of the Acharyas, then we would understand those. But if it's not, then it's not so important whether the exact word was spoken. Points have been made. Like the Gita is there. We see Nanda Maharaj is quoting the Gita. Others are speaking Gita. Others. Yeah. So, Gita is a particular body of knowledge. Right? So then, that body of knowledge then is handed down. Right? It's not that the Gita has to be specifically the 700 verses that we have. But all the points and details that are there, that is the Gita. So when Krishna gave the Gita to Vivasvan, then, you know, you wouldn't have Arjuna Uvacha in it. You know what I'm saying? So that's not what's important. It's the points that make it. You take this word katam. How is it? Now, that could be used for anything. Right? Someone cooks something and you say, how is it? So this word katam becomes Bhagavatam because it's in connection with these pastimes of the Lord. So that's what's important. Whether the exact verses were spoken or not, that's not actually an important point. The point that's important is the knowledge of the Bhagavatam is eternal. And that eternal knowledge was given to Sukadeva Goswami, who then revealed it to the world. Is that okay? Kuntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakta Dinda ki, Jainita Gaura Prema ki. level of worship of the pure devotee. Like that. So he will see his worshipable deity as the one who is sustaining everything and is in everything. And, so he will see his worshipable deity as the one who is sustaining everything and is in everything. And, but I'm sure if he wanted, he could see the super soul. Staking a claim to that piece of wants to let me know it's already. If he's a Vishnu worshiper, he'll see Vaikunthapati. If he's a worshiper of Ram, he'll see Ram there, you know, Krishna, like that. So depending what is his deity, that's what we'll see. So super soul is just there because we're not relating to him like that. So he manifests that. Bhagavan means this relationship. Means we accept that there's a supreme, but no form or quality. Paramatma means we accept that there's a supreme, he has form and qualities, but no relationship. And then Bhagavan is that, plus we have a relationship with him. And we act in that relationship. Relationship's not very developed. When you surrender to him, when the yogi sees him and surrenders, then he becomes a devotee. Then he sees Bhagavan. So he moves from the Paramatma to the Bhagavan. That's how he stays. Otherwise, he'll move from the Paramatma to the Brahman. He'll merge with the Lord. Because he gives them what they want. Means he'll give what you want. Yeah, but do they want to pay the price? It's just like, who here would like this, you know, this biggest diamond in the world? Everyone will stick their hand out and they say, okay, $3 billion. And then the hands all go down. So then we say, who wants to see Krishna? Hands up. Who's ready to fully surrender everything on the spot right this second? Hands go down. They don't. They want to surrender in gradually. So the purpose is there that's what they want. So that's good. So that's why you always encourage that. You know, especially in the beginning, you only talk about that. And try to get into place all the things they shouldn't do, and the major things that aren't going to create obstacles, and those major things that will create attraction for Krishna. You know? And then it'll work. But if they don't put those into place, then it's very, very difficult. You know, they don't chant their 16 rounds. They don't follow the regulative principles. Then that's the major thing to draw one to Krishna and keep you out of Maya. So then if that's not there, then naturally the other things will go down. You know, naturally it'll go down. You know, it'll naturally go down. So it's surrender, but we want to, but you know, it takes time, because the mind has to be convinced that what they're giving up and what they're going to gain is more. You know what I'm saying? Does that make some sense? That you means it's like an inchworm. when its foot is fully down, then only it'll pick up the last one. So therefore, then in small bits, then they put their foot into the next thing when they have that faith there, and when the faith is strong enough, then they'll lift their foot from the previous attachment. So that takes some time. It means the best is just bridge the whole gap at once. That's best. If you can't do that, you know, just immediately surrender to Krishna, then you follow the process of sadhana bhakti. Right? So then you follow all the rules. If you can't do that, then you work for Krishna. And then you add varnashrama. If you can't, then do your own work and give the results to Krishna. In other words, you're doing Krishna's work, or you're doing your own work and giving results to Krishna. So then one situates oneself. So the problem is those who are situated, let's say, in the second level, criticize those who are in the third or fourth. Those who are, especially in the fourth, criticize those on the others. The ones say that they're in Maya, and then those on the fourth level then say the person's on the second level, then they're fanatics. But, you know, it's an unfortunate situation.